Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory, and I'm here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is. And in today's episode, I realized I hadn't talked about one of my favorite places to visit yet, and that would be Eastern Europe. I love Eastern Europe. Romania is one of my favorite places in the world to go to. But aside from Romania, because we're going to talk more about that later, and we've already talked about that some, I've also been to Prague, you know, to Czechia, to Slovakia, to Budapest and Hungary. A bunch of really amazing places with some bizarre, fun things to see that I hadn't talked about yet. And I realized, well, that has to change. We definitely have to talk about this. So this episode of Weird World Adventures will be about some of my favorite places in Eastern Europe, with the exclusion of Romania, because that's its own thing. Let's get started talking about Budapest. And I always like to dub Budapest when I talk about it, a tale of two cities. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Did you know that Budapest, as we know it, is only 150 years old? Believe it or not, the Hungarian capital that we know and love formed by a merger in 1873 between three separate cities: Budapest and Obuda. For all purposes here, however, we're going to focus on Buda and Pest, the heart of the city and the reason we now call the capital of Hungary Budapest. Before their merge in 1873, Buda and Pest sat on opposite sides of the Danube River, and despite being the same city now, both sections offer unique traits that are all their own that tell their story of their separated past. These twin cities sitting across the river are, in a way, the very ideal example of yin and yang. They are two vastly different places despite now being officially the same city. Yet they work so harmoniously together as one location. Buda sits up on a high rolling hill overlooking the bustling side of Pest. Buda features a castle district, the Grand Habsburg Palace, and a gorgeous citadel nestled within its scenery. This elite section has an era of wealth and class to it. Despite being a melting pot of tourists and people of all backgrounds, Buda is relatively calm and clear. It's the strangely serene side of a bustling city, looming high over all that's happening in Pest. Pest, on the other hand, sits on rather flat land, yet Pest is where all the action happens. Tourists and locals buzz around throughout the day on Pest's flat lands and visiting cafes, restaurants, markets, bars, and coffee shops. It's the pure definition of a traditional city, and it's a very hip place to be. Buda is the perfect location to find peace and walk rolling hills, to set up a picnic with friends. Pest is the perfect place to shop, socialize, and run amok. At night, Buda closes its doors and windows, and the whole side of the city more or less calls it a night and shuts down. Pest, on the other hand, turns on its lights and starts a scene. If you're a fan of the opera, you'll love the opera house in Pest. There's a wide variety of nightlife, from bars to restaurants and clubs. All you have to do is take a walk out of your hotel and into the streets of Pest. Buda consists of some incredibly elegant historical museums. So it happened to be my favorite side, without a doubt, because of that. And for those of you who love the unusual, because there's always got to be something, right? The labyrinth under Buda Castle cannot be missed. For a small fee, you get to move through the underground tunnels of the castle, used for a plethora of reasons back in the day. Most notably, however, are the cells down here, one of which became famous for housing Vlad Tepes III, aka Dracula, for a time. Move throughout parts of the labyrinth in complete darkness if you're brave enough, or just use your cell phone to find your way through if you're scared of the dark. It's a place where history meets a frightful thrill, so I couldn't have loved it more. I will say, I went through with Katarina, who I worked with at the time, and there is literally a part underneath of the castle there in the labyrinth where it is pitch black and you can't see anything. And this goes on for quite a while. It's literally a maze in the dark and you have no idea where you are, and you're walking through the area that used to be the dungeons. And when I say that you can't see anything, I mean there's no light sources. It's actually pitch black up until you get to this one flashing light near the back over in the cell where they actually held Vlad Tepes to scare you. And I mean, when it started, there are ropes on the walls so you can kind of follow through. And I mean, no one said that to us, really. We didn't. We kind of figured that out. And I was trying to do my best of feeling my way around before the people in front of us were like, screw this. And they put on their flashlight so they could see on their phones. And I was like, yeah. So then we wound up putting on our flashlight. So that wasn't quite, I mean, but it was terrifying. It was a really kind of cool, I guess, idea to just be let loose underneath an old medieval castle and you are, you know, feeling your way through this labyrinth and the pitch blackness and I guess realizing how horrible things must have been down there for the prisoners, you know, until someone takes out their phone and you can kind of use that to find your way around. But it was a very, very cool experience. It was quite bizarre getting to crawl around and, you know, move all over and experience Buddha Castle in a very strange and bizarre and kind of frightening way. Anyway, back to Budapest. These two cities truly do exist as yin and yang, and they both add to the allure of Budapest. When you visit, it's as if you're getting two trips out of one destination. Though most recommend staying in Pest and visiting Buda, perhaps try staying a few days in each location to experience both sides of this enormous city in a different way. Personally, I'd rather stay in the quiet hills of Buda and visit the bustling area of Pest from time to time when I feel like having a good adventure out in the chaos of tourism. I'd also recommend we kind of happen to find this interesting boat restaurant called Spoon the Boat. It was a gorgeous boat that sat on the Danube on the Pest side where you can have a nice dinner, and the food was pretty exceptional. And nothing really beat like watching the sunset on the Danube while getting to see Buda's lights fade into the darkness. So that was a pretty cool experience. So if you're in there, Spoon the Boat, I do highly recommend it. And today, the Budapest that we know and love is a traveler city. It's enormous in size and offers experiences for anything your heart desires. History, music, art, entertainment, Budapest has it all. It's one of the largest cities in the EU, and now you know just how much of a melting pot it really is. Now that you know the true history, you will be unable to ignore the strong, distinct differences between Buda and Pest. And the next time you set foot in Budapest, you'll be able to appreciate it for its tale of two cities. I really, really enjoyed that labyrinth underneath of Buda Castle, I'm not gonna lie. Man, what a cool experience. All right, let's move on to talk about another one of my favorite cities in Eastern Europe, Prague. Who doesn't love Prague? Prague, the city of 100 spires, the historical capital of Bohemia, the largest city in the Czech Republic, now called Czechia. It's known for its towering buildings, vibrant culture, and immensely intricate history. Perhaps you haven't heard, but Prague is also a hotspot for dozens of spectacularly weird things to do. In fact, you can fill up multiple days in the city just by focusing on weird locations alone. So naturally, when I visited Prague, that's exactly what I did. From museums dedicated to the strange and unusual to creatively interesting installations, here are the most spectacularly weird things to do in Prague. Okay, one of my favorite places. It was actually very small, but wild. The Museum of Alchemists of Old Prague. Naturally, being someone that studies mythology and folklore and occult, I had to go to the Museum of Alchemist of Old Prague. Okay, if you're looking for an elaborate and wild display of strange art, a bit of history and mystery, and some really fun legends, look no further than the Museum of Alchemist of Old Prague. This wild museum covers many of the stories of Rudolf II, Holy Roman Emperor during the 16th century, and the alchemist he funded throughout his time. Most notably, he patronized Edward Kelly, historically one of the most famous alchemists, and supposedly the tower found in the museum was actually Edward Kelly's workplace. So yes, they are saying that the tower that you get to go up and see at the end of your tour is actually the real workshop of Edward Kelly, one of the most famous alchemists of all time. So we got to supposedly go into Edward Kelly's old laboratory space, which is pretty incredible. After entering in and seeing a wildly dramatic stage scene showing a human sacrifice and getting to read many fun tales of alchemy, your guide will take you up the winding stairs of the building, built in the 16th century, and boy were they steep and narrow, definitely built in the 16th century, into the attic where Kelly supposedly worked. The museum is part show, part fun tale, and part educational, as they cover astronomy, the creation of homunculi, and many other fun experiments that alchemists did back in the day as they attempted to turn the elements into gold. If you're looking for a spectacle, showmanship, and some really well-done art, and also just cool stories, I highly, highly, highly recommend this museum. Another fun, shall we say, museum in Prague is the Museum of Ghosts and Legends of Prague. Right before you cross over the Charles Bridge on the side of Prague Castle, you'll find the Museum of Ghosts and Legends of Prague tucked away in a small storefront. But do not let the small storefront fool you. This cute little museum is worth a visit if you're a fan of ghost stories. You can download an app to follow along in your desired language, and each fun piece of art within the museum or dramatic scene has a story to accompany it. As you walk through and hear the haunting tales, eventually you go down under the city into an old creepy street setting, complete with a collection of gravestones. Follow the winding trail along until you get free back on the other side of the busy streets of Prague. Overall, the museum is basically a bunch of ghost stories that you listen to, but it's definitely worth the visit for paranormal enthusiasts, as you get to listen to as many tales as you want or go through at a quicker pace if you desire to do so. I rather like that you could set your own pace for this one, and it was gimmicky, albeit, but also just kind of fun, too. It was a fun experience. That's why you're going to go there. The Paternoster lift of Prague City Hall. This was funny. It was trending everywhere, and I'm like, what is a Paternoster lift? I'm going to tell you. A Paternoster lift is more or less a thing of the past, but there are still a few out there, and when you find one, it's really more exciting than it probably should be. A Paternoster lift is a continuous elevator that never stops moving. It has enough space for a single person to step on at the right moment and jump off when they get to the back of the floor they were looking for. Perhaps the most exciting part is where it moves tracks at the top and bottom, briefly going sideways. In Prague, you can find one of these infamous lifts in the back of the old city hall, and it's very exciting. When you enter into the main entrance to the hall, veer to the right and go all the way down. At the back of this hallway, when you turn immediately to the left, that's where you're going to find this lift. Thanks to social media popularity, this lift has been in and out of service for several years. It was reopened to the public in September of 2018 before going out of service again in June 2023. So I missed it by like a month, which was devastating. Supposedly to make a political statement, that's why they closed it. Right now, it is not functional still, and no one knows whether or not it plans to open again. Yeah. Everyone, I'm sure, has heard of the astronomical clock in Prague, but I feel like I have to do my due diligence here and talk about it. The Prague astronomical clock is a clock in the old town hall in Prague that chimes every hour on the hour, like, well, actual clockwork. This medieval clock was first built in 1410, making it the oldest working clock still in operation today. The clock mechanism shows an astronomical dial and calendar dial, and every hour the statues of various Catholic saints and the skeleton, representing death, come out for a show and strike the time. According to legends, the city of Prague will suffer if the clock isn't in good working condition, so it remains fully functional today despite its age. Another interesting thing to see in Prague is the Idiom installation. The Idiom installation is a giant cylinder-shaped tower made out of stacked books, an extremely popular art installation inside the Prague Municipal Library. You can spot this never-ending tower of books from the entrance of the library, but note that there is generally a line of people out the door trying to experience this installation. So expect that. This art installation consists of a tower of books with a hole in the center for you to peer in. With mirrors placed at the top and bottom, the book tower looks as if it goes on forever, casually cascading up into oblivion. The artist who designed this interesting piece is Majid Kren, a Slovakian artist who explores the themes of infinite knowledge that comes from books. It is a really cool thing to see, by the way. I mean, I was pretty taken aback by it, and I definitely think you should check it out if you're there. Even when the line goes out the door, it's like a 20, 25-minute wait, so it was not terrible. Last but not least, in the city of Prague, we have the Dripstone Wall of Faces, found within the breathtaking gardens of the Senate of Czechia, built in between 1623 and 1630 as part of the Wallenstein Palace. You'll find a strangely eerie and slightly beautiful dripstone wall made up of a cluster of stalactite-like rocks. Upon closer inspection, many of these rocks appear to have faces of people and some of animals, looking like creepily dripping skulls. While that is most definitely weird and eerie enough, I have to say that I find it hard to believe that some of these faces weren't originally actually animal faces, as I could clearly see the detailed face of a snake and a wolf upon part of the wall. There is a legend that the wall itself contains a secret passage, accessible only to those smart enough to discern its pattern and find a way in, though no one has yet to figure it out. Whether or not that's true, it's most definitely a fun mystery and a nice stop out of your day in Prague to take a seat back and enjoy the dripstone faces as you sit in the park. Of course, this is outside of Prague, so I'm going to finish this out here, but it definitely deserves a mention. While all the above locations can be found within Prague City, I will say that the Sedlec Ossuary is about an hour out from Prague, but it's definitely worth a visit. It's one of the most popular tourist attractions in the Czech Republic. This ossuary contains the skeletons of between 40 and 70,000 people, most of which are artistically displayed in various formats around the ossuary. What makes Sedlec so sought after is the way in which the bones are displayed, which is much more unique than most ossuaries, with skulls draped around the ceiling like ribbons, adorned with headdresses made of bones, there's a chandelier made of bones, and there's even a coat of arms, specifically the Schwarzenberg coat of arms, made of bones. If you like the weird and macabre, this is definitely something you need to see, and I bet you you've seen pictures of it before because this has been all over the internet. I will point out that now photography has been forbidden in the ossuary, as it is part of the church, and many visitors were taking inappropriate photos or dressing inappropriately to take photos within the property, so now photographs have been banned for everyone. So if you'd like to have photos taken, you have to get special permissions well in advance. Alrighty, before we end this episode, I would like to talk about some of the weirdest castles in Czechia and Slovakia, and that will finish out some of my deep love of Eastern Europe, and I'm hoping you can see just why I love Eastern Europe so much. There are so many bizarre and wonderful things there, and I could talk about this all day, to be quite honest. All right, let's talk about the weirdest castles in Czechia and Slovakia. I think this is my favorite. Hauska Castle. Hauska Castle is one of the best preserved early Gothic castles, sitting about an hour north of Prague. Built in the 13th century under the Bohemian rule, it was said to have been built over the entrance to hell. Where the chapel was built, there was supposedly a hole that went all the way down to hell, one that demons were said to crawl their way out of. The castle was supposedly built close to the entrance to hell, once and for all. And what better part of the castle was there to put over that hole than the chapel? As our tour guide so eloquently said, most castles are built to keep what's outside from getting in. This is the only castle that was built to keep what's inside from getting out. Hauska was also famously taken under Nazi control when the Wehrmacht took the castle during World War II and held it until 1945. This was one of the locations where it was rumored that Nazis conducted many occult experiments, again contributing to the weird and paranormal lore of this famous castle. Unfortunately, it was returned to its owners in less than ideal condition once they got their castle back after the war, so it is still constantly being renovated and improved upon, and ticket sales from the guests are used to help make the castle look beautiful again. Upon your visit, know the tours go out every hour on the hour, and the tours are in Czech. If you speak another language, you will be given a guidebook to follow along at your own pace that showcases each of the rooms of the castle. The chapel that hides the hole to hell is eerily beautiful, and the rooms in the upstairs are also more modernly beautiful and offer a gorgeous view of the surrounding landscape. And there's even a little surprise for you at the end, where guests can get a glimpse of the devil himself. It's worth the trip out of Prague to go into the hills to see this wonderful castle if you can. You'll even pass some beautiful scenery, such as the town of Harrisov, where you can bask out by the lake on your way out. Let's talk about Karlstein Castle. Karlstein Castle is another early Gothic castle found in the Czech Republic, and it's one of the most well-maintained castles I've personally seen to date. With lines of people forming to visit daily, you can see why very easily. There's another castle tour that brings you through with a guide, and the property is immensely impressive. If you're stationed in Prague, it's about 50 minutes southwest from there. Karlstein Castle was founded in 1348 by King Charles IV, and it's among the most famous and popular castles in Czechia, as it's massive. Again, it's in incredible condition, and it served as a place for safekeeping of the imperial regalia and the Bohemian crown of jewels. While not exactly weird in itself, there were a few things that really stuck out to me about this massive place. The throne room, the bridges between the two towers, and the bathrooms. These are all good things to talk about. The throne room was set up with a massive wooden chair that was placed purposely against the wall in between two large windows. The windows poured light in around King Charles, making it so when he met with his subjects, no one could see directly into his eyes. He was kind of shrouded in darkness. This added an extra layer of intimidation when needed. The ominous chair proved plenty of cover for the king while ensuring he could see directly into the eyes of his visitors. Well, now built of stone, the bridges in between the tower of the castle used to be made of wood. This way, if there was ever an invasion or a battle, they could be burned down without any exterior damage, and each tower could serve as its own fort if one were taken over by the enemies. And lastly, those bathrooms. The bathrooms of the castle were built as wooden boxes sticking out of the sides of the towers. This way, those living inside could go directly through a hole in their bathroom, and their excrement would just kind of fall to the ground. So if you're looking for a nice, bustling, well-kept-up castle that is sure to impress you, Karlstein is definitely a must-visit in Czechia. They conduct regular tours in English, so it's extremely accommodating, too. All right, now I gotta talk about Bažnice. If you're staying in Bratislava, Bažnice is about a two-hour car ride northeast of your location. It's a Romanesque castle with Gothic and Renaissance vibes. Actually, what I thought was really cool that stood out about Bažnice is that different floors of the living quarters are presented in different ways and renovated to show you how the castle would look like in different times or different eras of time. So one floor was Gothic, while the next floor showed Renaissance decor, and the next showed what it looked like during medieval times. So each area of the visitors' quarters was changed on each floor to show you what it would have looked like at a different period in history, and I thought that was very cool and a great idea. Bažnice is a popular filming location for fairy tales, as it looks like the perfect fairy tale castle. It definitely reminded me of the Disneyland castle, if you ask. Bažnice conducts regular tours. They are also guided and in Slovak, so if you speak English, again, they'll give you a handout with information on each of the rooms. Unfortunately, they aren't given to you in tour order for some reason, so I kind of found the need to flip through to try to figure out where I was. A few strange things to note in Bažnice are the cathedral, which looks really unique, the gold ceiling in one of the salons, and the crypt of the last owner of the castle down below it. It also has its own cenotes that was found underneath of it, so a tour of the castle will also take you down to the cenotes below. Have you ever heard of a castle with a cenote? I mean, that's bizarre in itself to me. That reason alone is one of the major ones that it made my list of weirdest castles, because I thought that was pretty cool. Kačiske Castle is another really good one, and I believe that's where we're going to end today. Kačiske Castle is a beautiful spray of castle ruins on top of a hill about an hour north of Bratislava. You can easily and should definitely make a day out of Bocchinis and Cacciische together, as they are very close to one another. You may also know Cacciische as one of the filming locations used in Dragonheart. You may also know it as the home of Elizabeth Bathory, the countess who was known for torturing young virgins and bathing in their blood, supposedly to stay youthful. Cacciische was not only one of the main homes of Countess Bathory, but it was also the spot where she was allegedly killing many of her victims, and it was where she was held after being convicted of these murders until her death. When visiting Cacciische, be prepared to learn many things about Countess Bathory. See a few partially still standing towers and rooms, a spray of beautiful ruins, and a real Iron Maiden. I think that was probably the most exciting part for me for no reason. It was kind of cool. In Countess Bathory's honor, there is an old Iron Maiden on display, one that is both terrifying to see and also strangely cool. They also set up a throne with a Lego dragon so you can take your own fire and blood photos. Pretty cool. All in all, it was gorgeous. It was a wonderful castle to see. Definitely one of the weirdest castles in Czechia and Slovakia. And I am mildly ashamed to say that I did go inside the Iron Maiden. My boss dared me to. And I guess that was a good trust exercise that she didn't close me in there, because it was a real Iron Maiden. And I went inside and no one closed the door, so it was good. But that was an experience I will never forget. And I guess with that, we are going to end this episode now on some of my favorite, wonderfully strange places in Eastern Europe. I hope I've inspired you to go to Eastern Europe. It really is truly one of my favorite places. There's so much history there. I personally love following in the footsteps of old Bohemia and getting to see that style of architecture and just the strange imprint it left behind on history. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in today to hear all about Budapest and Slovakia and Czechia. And until next week, I hope you guys stay weird.